This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja. Alhamdulillah alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nahtadi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلام عليه عباد الله قال الله تعالى في الكتاب المبين بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد مكناكم في الأرض وجعلنا لكم فيها معيشا قليلا ما تشكرون وبعد. One of the reasons why the scholars in our tradition, primarily those of Tazkiyah, often mention that reading the Quran is absolutely necessary is because the heart is something that requires maintenance. Just like anything else that you have, if you maintain something regularly, then it will perform the exact way that you need it to. But if you delay, and if you take time, and if you don't make sure that you are maintaining something on a schedule with regularity, then things will go bad very quickly after you neglect it for a certain amount of time. So the scholars mentioned that a daily engagement with the Qur'an is something that keeps the heart clean, something that purifies it, something that takes away all of the rust that develops around it. And everybody in this room understands and knows what I'm talking about, because you live here in the dunya, and part of the nature of the dunya is that it impacts you. There are thoughts that you have that you don't want to have. There are things that you say that you regret saying. There are things you look at that you wish that you didn't look at. All of these things impact us in some way, shape, or form or another, and they also impact our relationship, primarily with Allah, but also with family and friends. It all boils down to the heart. Ala wa hiya al-qalb, as the Prophet ﷺ, he said. So if a person is concerned about the function and the maintenance of their heart, not from a physical standpoint, although we have cardiologists here that can help you with that, but from a spiritual standpoint, if a person is concerned about their heart, the first question they have to ask themselves is, what is my relationship with the Qur'an? Now why? Why is that the case? Well, Allah Ta'ala mentions, He says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُذَّكِّرِ He says that we made the Qur'an very easy as a facilitated resource for people to be reminded. So who then is going to take reminder? Allah Ta'ala created us as human beings, and we have a lot of honor and dignity that Allah gave us, but one of the things that we struggle with is that we forget, and we need to be reminded. And a person that doesn't get comfortable with the idea of being reminded is a person that's going to fail. It's a person that's not going to succeed. Reminders come from all types of people in all shapes, all sizes. Your children can even remind you, Baba, put down your phone. Your spouse can remind you, be more patient. Your colleagues at work can remind you with another email following up. All of these things are part of your nature. Allah Ta'ala also has reminders, and He wants us to take those reminders on a daily basis, that we engage with the Qur'an regularly so that we don't have the crash from lack of maintenance of the spiritual heart. Now, one of the topics that is very common in the Qur'an, and this is the topic that I wanted to address today in the khutbah, is a cure for a slew of diseases. It is something that Allah Ta'ala told us about. He warned us about. And it's actually something that Shaytan, in one of the conversations with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, it's something that Shaytan let loose or let slip that was he was going to use this as a way to target us. That he was going to use this cure or this trait that can be curing as a way to take it away from us so that we did fall into our own form of destruction. What kind of cure is this? I want to first share with you the story so that we can talk about what the cure is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in Surah Al-A'raf the story of Shaytan rejecting sajda to Adam. And this is a story that's mentioned in other places in the Quran as well. But the reason why we're going to share this particular story is because this is the moment in which we find out what the strategy is. What's the characteristic that Shaytan wanted us to not have so that we would fall to our own destruction? Allah Ta'ala begins ayah number 11. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ That Allah Ta'ala says that Surely we created you and we shaped you. And then we commanded the angels, who Iblis at the time was with. Because why? Because at this time, before he rejected, he was somebody that was worshiping God. He was devoted to God. And this was before the downfall. And so he was in the company of the angels. You know, there's some people that are like professionals. And then you have the interns over the summer. And sometimes the interns do better than the professionals. You have people who play in professional sports leagues. And then you got guys in college, right? And they scrimmage together sometimes. So Iblis is with the angels in that capacity. He's not an angel, but he's doing so much in terms of devotion to Allah that for moments of time, he's with them. He's in their company. So when Allah commands the angels to bow, Iblis is also included in that command. So he says, فَسَجَدُوا. All of them, they listened, they obeyed. Why? يَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. The angels were created to do exactly what they were commanded. And they did it. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا Iblis. But Iblis was the only one who stuck up and did not do. لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. He was not from those who prostrated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asks him, قَالَ مَا مَنَعْكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. Oh Iblis, what was it that prevented you? Right? Even Allah's language is so gracious. Allah didn't say, you failure. He didn't say, go to hell right now. He didn't say these things immediately. He says, مَا مَنَعَكَ. What was it that prevented you? أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. That you were not able to perform the sajda when I commanded you to do it. قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ. Iblis comes back with a very arrogant tone. I'm better than him. That thing that you created out of dirt. I'm better than him. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. You made me from fire and you made him from clay. Then Allah Ta'ala gets serious with him. قَالَ فَاهْبِطْ مِنْهَا فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا فَاخْرُجْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. That he says that, get down from here, because this was in the divine realm, the heavens, the environment of paradise. It is not for you to be arrogant here. You cannot be this way. You cannot act arrogant in this manner. So get out truly. Instead of being those that are inflated with arrogance, you are actually مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. You are a low, small, disgraced creature. Iblis then says back to Allah, قَالَ أَنذِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. He has this really interesting courage in this moment to ask Allah for something. I don't know if anyone here has ever gotten in trouble before, but it's not usually the natural time for you to make a request. When you're being punished, is not the time that you say, by the way, if you don't mind, can I? No. If you do that, in my household growing up, it would be illegal what would happen. But subhanAllah, and again, this is less about Iblis and more about Allah. That Iblis felt so, he knew Allah's mercy and graciousness and generosity was unlimited. That even in a moment after directly disobeying and being arrogant, he still had the audacity and the foolish courage, really, to ask Allah in this moment. قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, okay, you're asking for this, you've been granted it, subhanAllah. Then the story continues. قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْدِعُنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He says, because of the misguidance that you led me to, O Allah, I'm going to wait for them on the path, the straight path that you have set for them. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. I will approach them from their front and from behind them, from their right and from their left. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And the result of me, the result of me approaching them and surrounding them and trapping them in this way is that I will deprive them from the characteristic that will cure their hearts, that will guide them to you in every scenario. I will make them people that will not be grateful to you. Brothers and sisters, the cure to most problems in life, according to Shaytan himself, is the cure of having gratitude with Allah and gratitude with others. I want to talk about this passage from the lens of gratitude, and I want to explain a few things. First of all, interesting to note, before this passage in the Quran, there's actually an ayah right before the passage where Allah Ta'ala mentions, and I quoted this in the beginning of the khutbah, وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعِيشًا قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. That Allah Ta'ala says that it is without a doubt the truth and reality that you have been created and established on earth. And in other places, Allah describes the earth as a place that is comfortable, that has fruit and vegetation. Allah Ta'ala tells us to look at the clouds as they move and give shade. Look at the rain as it comes down and cools off the earth. Oh Allah, Ya Rab, Ameen. Look at the food that is grown from the soil. Look at the earth itself, that grass is comfortable to sit on. That it's not something that is sharp or that is dangerous or toxic, but this earth is a place that is built with comfort. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this whole story about ingratitude by mentioning that what? The very fact that you're here, whether or not you understand it, you are the beneficiary of blessings. You're immersed in it. It's like oxygen. None of us had any part in engaging in the creation of oxygen. None of us sit there every morning and put together oxygen as a compound so that we can breathe it throughout the day, subhanAllah. But Allah Ta'ala immersed us in nothing but privilege and benefit. And so as a result of that, he says that this is your default state. You know, many of us think that what? We come out of the womb as neutral. No, we come out as blessed. We come out as absolutely showered in blessings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. But he still says, very little do you recognize these blessings, and as a result, very little do you express gratitude. So the disposition that every human has to have, meaning what? Every day when you wake up, you have to say Alhamdulillah. You have to begin by saying, thank you Allah. Allah, I didn't do anything to deserve even waking up. I didn't deserve the bed that I'm sleeping on. But oh Allah, thank you for giving me this opportunity, for giving me this breath. Alhamdulillah. Thank you Allah for bringing me back to life after I was given a temporary death, as the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Number two, a lack of gratitude, when a person has a void in their shukr, it actually stops them from worshiping. You know, sometimes we think that, oh, okay, you know what? Maybe if I worship more, then I'll become more grateful. And that is true sometimes. But the reality is, what better fuel is there for a person to worship Allah than through gratitude and remembering Allah? That's why the Prophet ﷺ taught us this dua, Allahumma i'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. In that order, oh Allah, allow me to remember you. The dhikr of Allah, you are constantly reminded of all the blessings He's given you. Naturally, your next step is what? Wa shukrika. And oh Allah, thank you for those blessings. And then what is Allah Ta'ala's love language? What does He prefer to be thanked in? Ibadah wa husni ibadatik. So shaytan, because of his void in gratitude, was unable to even do one simple sajda. Unable to. He couldn't. It was like something overcame him. I mean, subhanAllah, even if you have a problem with somebody, even if you don't agree, when you understand the blessing that you're the recipient of, you're able to fake it, right? Like you're able just to do something, you know? Many people in here struggle maybe at work, but you're able to go and fake it. Why? Because every 2 weeks is payday. Many people in here, may Allah protect us, you have issues at home, but you're able to keep it going. Why? Because you know that you can at least fake it, even if you're not fully, totally bought in. May Allah Ta'ala cure our homes. The idea that shaitan was simply unable to perform a sajda because of a lack of gratitude shows us just how scary this disease is. That it strips us away. I want us to think about this. Ingratitude takes the gift of worship away from us. SubhanAllah. There are people that come and they ask, you know, Sheikh Abdul Nasser, Mufti Kamani, Sheikh Mikhail, and others. I hear these questions. They say, I have everything I could ever ask for, but I still can't get myself to pray. I have everything. I have the wealth, I have the house, I have the cars, I have a family, I'm healthy, but I still can't get myself to pray. And the answer is exactly here, right in front of us. The problem is not that you have the blessings. The problem is you don't recognize those blessings as being from Allah. And so your connection is cut short. I'm not going to pray. Why? Because I don't see that Allah is the one who gave me that. But subhanAllah, and this is the nature of tests. Many people say, why we get tested? Allah Ta'ala temporarily pulls back some of those blessings. Maybe you lose your health for a couple weeks. Maybe you tear an ACL or two. Maybe you get into a car accident. Maybe you go through a serious condition. Maybe you get a letter that's a little bit scary. And all of a sudden now, worship starts to climb on the list of priorities. Because why? Your lack of gratitude is being cured by a test from Allah. May Allah Ta'ala test us in gentle ways. So Shaytan displayed this. And he displayed that his inability to worship was directly due to his lack of gratitude. So how does a person come to worship Allah, be more grateful? I know it sounds a little bit like homework, but have a journal, have a note, write things down. Reflect on what Allah has given you. I was in an elementary school, Islamic school, and I was walking and I saw some of the artwork and the projects the kids do outside. And I walked up to one of the projects, and it was called a gratitude map or a gratitude chart. I thought, what a great idea. You get little kids, first graders, second graders, to write what they're grateful for. So I went up to it and I was reading it. This was 10, 12 years ago, by the way. I went up to it and I was reading it, and I saw all these kids writing, you know, basketball, soccer, PlayStation, Xbox. Everyone's writing things that normally we think about. And one kid wrote white blood cells. And I chuckled at first. That's interesting. What first grader even knows enough to say that? And the teacher said, no, his cousin has leukemia. And he said, that reality in his life made him aware, acutely aware, that he's blessed. Now the thing is, all of us are just as lucky as that boy. But Allah is gentle enough not to remind us of it all the time. Do not let ingratitude stop you from worshiping the one who gave you everything. Allah Ta'ala be gentle with us. The third is that gratitude is something that causes or that deflates all arrogance from a person. If a person is grateful to Allah, they have absolutely no claim or credit to any of the good that they have. Because arrogance is what? Arrogance is a disproportionate claim to your blessings. It's true. Allah Ta'ala did tell us to work. Allah Ta'ala did give us the ability to do. He gave us the ability to put it forth effort. But, however, along with that effort, along with that work, along with those nights of study and those days of working hard and saving and investing, all of that is part of what Allah told us to do. However, the believer understands that fundamentally, that very privilege of work is from Allah. And so arrogance is not even possible. The believer is not compatible with arrogance, because the believer never confuses their blessings as being from themselves. You know what's really interesting about this? We're going to go back to the ayah. Shaytan himself even recognizes that Allah was the one who gave him everything. But because he didn't have gratitude for that, instead of seeing it as Allah's blessings, he saw it as something that he got. What did he say when Allah says, "Why didn't you bow to me?" He said, "What? You created me from fire." Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, "I was created from fire," or "I was created of fire." He didn't use the passive tense. He said, "Khalaqtani, you made me." So he understands from a purely information standpoint, he gets it. You made me, but he's not making the connection. Because you made me, O Allah, it's irrelevant what I think. I will bow and prostrate because you're the one who made me. Now, if a person doesn't have gratitude, that discussion starts to look less like the angels and more like Shaytan. Why do I have to give zakat? Why do I have to pray? Why do I have to do this? And then people say, you know what? Allah gave you so much. Allah gave you your health. He gave you your job. He gave you your family. He gave you all these things. And the person inside is battling, saying, well, I worked really hard. Don't take all the credit away from me. But subhanAllah, isn't it the case that even the eyes that you use to read the textbooks to pass the exam were given to you by Allah? Even the ability to speak on the phone to accept the deal for the investment that you're making was given to you by Allah? Even the ability to walk into work and earn your income, that was from Allah? So do we really, in all honesty, I know this is a little bit too deep, and I apologize, do we really actually have credit for anything if Allah didn't give us what we have? Alhamdulillah. And so Shaytan displays this. He displays this complete and total lack of recognition that despite the fact that he's aware Allah made him, he did not make the connection that I have to be grateful for it. And so this is something gratitude can do. It connects you back to the one who bestowed you the blessing. The third thing that gratitude does, it makes you worship. It makes you able to understand that you are immersed in the blessings of Allah. The third thing is that it removes hasad from the hearts of people. Envy is not possible. Because why? Because you understand what? That if I am grateful, number one, the scholar said something very beautiful. He said, you have no time to think about anybody else. You have no time. You are so immersed in your own goodness. You're just saying, alhamdulillah. The whole drive, you're so honored to even have a car to begin with that you don't notice all the other cars on the road that are nicer than yours. You don't even have the function to do that. You're so happy with your own family that you don't have the ability to be jealous of somebody else's family. You're so grateful for the things in your life that you don't have the time to be distracted. Hasad is completely extinguished by what? By gratitude from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fourth, and we'll conclude here, is that gratitude allows us to understand that the trials that we have are ultimately, even those trials are ultimately good for us. Even the trials that we have are ultimately things that are good for us. Why? Because when you're grateful and Allah Ta'ala places a speed bump in your life, you suddenly become more grateful for all the moments of smoothness that you had. And when Allah restores tranquility back to your path, your gratitude is even doubled, more than it was before. And shaitan, very interestingly, also destroys himself in this regard, because he says, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. He says, because of the misguidance that you did upon me, because of what you did to me, he has this crisis of faith. He has this complete rejection of Allah. Instead of seeing that he was the one who actually made the decision not to bow, he was the one who chose not to make sujood, he looks at Allah and he says, you're the one that did it to me. But a grateful heart of a grateful servant never ever allows a test to break them. Think of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he say after Ta'if? You know, Ta'if, subhanAllah, after the battle of Uhud, Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said to him, like, was this the hardest day of your life? Uhud, he lost so many. He lost his uncle Hamza, he lost Mus'ab, he lost so many people that were close to him. The Muslims had to retreat. It was a very difficult day. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked him, she says, was this the hardest day in your da'wah? And he said, no, the hardest day was the day of Ta'if, when he was rejected in the way that he was by the people of Ta'if. And the dua he made after, subhanAllah, we only have a minute or two left so that we can't go over it, but he says to Allah, he complains, which is, by the way, it's okay. Allah does not want us to complain. But he always wants us to conclude our complaining with gratitude. Because in the plate of food, we can complain about one or two grains of rice, but don't forget the other 100. Don't forget that you're swimming in blessings. You're allowed to complain. It's your right. Allah loves it when the servant complains to him. But the servant also, subhanAllah, the grateful servant has etiquette even when they complain. Even when they're broken, they still say, oh Allah, you just touched me a little bit with adversity. Just like the Prophet said, مَسَّنِي بِالدُّرِ. I was tested a little bit with adversity. They don't say, oh Allah, my life sucks. They say, oh Allah, this is a little trial. The Prophet ﷺ says, إِلَى مَنْ تَكِلْنِي. He says, إِلَيْكَ أَشْكُ دُعْفَ كُوَّتِي وَقِلَّةَ حِيلَتِي وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ. He's complaining to Allah. People don't respect me. They're pushing me away. I feel weak in this moment. But he says what? As long as you are not upset with me, oh Allah, I don't mind. I don't mind. That's gratitude. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us more grateful. We ask Allah Ta'ala to allow our hearts to always be grateful to Him. We ask Allah Ta'ala that even when we're tested, we recognize that the test is one fraction of the gratitude that we should have to Him. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. You know, there's a hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام where he mentions that whoever is not grateful to people cannot be grateful to Allah. And I wanted to finish with this because the end of the khutbah is where the most people are. I wanted to remind us all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, part of the blessings that He has given us are the people in our lives. The people that we are close with, the people that we are acquaintances with. SubhanAllah, even the people that we differ with are blessings for us. And they are people that we should be grateful for. One of the primary causes that families struggle and friends struggle is because they focus on the minutia and the minor percentage of difficulty instead of the great percentage of blessings that they have. Many marriages struggle because of this. Imagine, subhanAllah, if we spent our day thanking our spouses for everything they did for us, instead of picking out the one or two things that we didn't like. Imagine if instead of criticizing our children for one or two mistakes that they made, we actually praised them for the countless good things that they did and the effort that they put forth. Imagine that. If we adopted this attitude of being grateful, undoubtedly our relationships would improve. And the Prophet ﷺ, he demonstrated this. The Prophet ﷺ thanked people for things that he did not need to thank them for, because he understood that he had more to be grateful for than he had to complain about. My wife's grandfather, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy on him, he said something that I'll leave you with that I think is a really beautiful statement. I know he's not a scholar, he's not a sahabi, he's not this, but it's a beautiful statement. He said he was a very jolly man, he was a very happy guy. And his wife was not that way. Anyway, so she was really sometimes very, you know, tough. So one day she became very annoyed with his happiness. Not like seriously annoyed, but just like, seriously, you're always in a good mood. You're always this and that, right? Misery loves company. Misery hates happy people. So she said, why is it that you're so happy? And he said, if I spent my entire day thanking Allah for everything I have, I would run out of day before I ran out of things to thank him for. I would fall asleep from exhaustion before I could even start the list of things that I have to complain about. This explains his disposition. She was asking him, how are you this way? And he said, I am this way because I try to be grateful to Allah. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us grateful people. We ask Allah Ta'ala to lighten the burden of tests that we have. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us grateful despite our challenges. We ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us. We ask Allah Ta'ala to guide us. We ask Allah Ta'ala to keep us on the straight path. Inna Allahu wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen. Innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقيموا الصلاة